Okay, we are recording.
Okay, I am calling to order the February 12th Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners meeting at 1:31. Agenda item 2 is the roll call, and Ms. Whiteford, would you agree to call roll?
Yes. Barbara Paulson?
Present.
Charlene Marbs is absent. Okay, I'm going alphabetically. Victoria Cantella?
Present.
Christopher Daly?
Present.
Quentin McAllister?
Present.
And then with the Attorney General's Office, Mark Harris?
Present.
And board staff, Karen Whiteford, present, and Vicki Igarola?
Present. Okay. Thank you. Okay. It's a great day for the board. We have two new professionals on the board this meeting. We've been waiting for you all. So, on behalf of the board, I just want to take a few minutes to invite you to briefly share a bit about yourself professionally, and if you choose, personally. So, Chris, would you like to go first?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Pleasure to be here. I'm really excited to join the board. I've been an occupational therapist for 20 years now. I've worked in just about every clinical setting, from community to hospital-based, with pediatrics and adults. More recently, I was in some administrative roles at Dignity Health. I've transitioned a bit from there, and I'm doing outpatient hand therapy with Banner Physical Therapy and juggling that with some contracting and consulting that I do. So I'm really excited to have a new diverse mix on my professional endeavors at this point, and I'm really excited to be here with you guys.
Thank you. Victoria?
Hi, guys. Really excited to be here as well. I am an OTA. I've been one for about 7 years now. I work mainly in skilled nursing facilities. I've worked with pediatrics a little bit, mainly with amputee kids. I'm actually a congenital amputee upper extremity myself. So I try to do a lot of work with prosthetics and amputee training. What else? Yeah, I'm really excited to be on this new endeavor and learn, you know, about the behind the scenes stuff with you guys. So
great. Thank you. Dr. McAllister, do you have any comments or?
No, it sounds like two great members to add to the board for sure.
I agree. So, like I say, we are so welcome to have you.
Thank you.
Just a shout out to Mr. Mark Harris today, who is going to be serving as our board's attorney today. So welcome to you too.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to agenda item 4, any declarations of conflicts of interest?
I do. Quentin McAllister for items 8, C3, Philip Rose, and then myself, 8D2, for ratification of license. And I noticed that Chris is on here, and he's new, so just to let you know, when you see your own name on there, you have to recuse yourself, obviously. I don't know if you knew that or not. But
thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, Chris, you are recusing yourself as well.
Item 8D1.
Okay. Sounds like that's it. Moving on to agenda item 5, our review of our upcoming board meetings. Does anyone see any reason why they, at this point in time, cannot attend?
No.
Good to me.
Okay.
Good.
Great. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting decision this time in our lives. Like, I don't know, there's not much on my calendar, but...
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be able to go back to in-person.
Yeah, until June, anyway.
Okay, moving on to item six, which is our meeting minutes. And Ms. Whiteford, I'm going to look to you and maybe Mr. Harris. Since we only have two voting members today.
Madam Chair, that's correct, because of the, we have three members that attended those meetings on October 15th and January 8th. One of those is not present today, so we would only have two to vote on it. And then additionally, we don't have the minutes ready for January 8th, so I... my suggestion would be to table item six to the March meeting.
Okay, you know, that's the road I was going to go down, but I wanted to confirm with you. All right. We don't have to have a motion to do that, right?
No.
No, okay. I'm new at this lead thing, you guys, so, okay. All right, so we will table those for our March 12th meeting, all of item six. Moving down to agenda item seven, review, consideration, and possible action on complaints, investigations, and compliance. I am not seeing any items that we need to review or possibly consider action on. Surprise!
Yeah.
we're usually kind of busy in this section. Well,
there are a lot coming.
The board's
So we will move through item seven on to item eight. Under 8AI, we have nothing on initial application board reviews, which would take us down to 8BI. We have no limited license applications to review. So we'll move on down to 8C1, Jessica Castillo, Jessica, are you on the media call? No.
All right, Madam Chair, should I provide a summary?
That would be great.
Okay. Ms. Castillo's license expired on December 8th, 2020. She submitted her renewal application on January 12th and included a statement that she practiced for 2 days, not knowing that her license had expired, and that is on page 24 of your board meeting materials.
Okay, so she disclosed that, and we know that is in violation of Arizona Revised Statute 32-34019-2, failing to renew a license while continuing to practice occupational therapy. So, I guess I feel like I have some questions for her. Dr. McAllister, do you have any input on this?
I do. We've been pretty consistent with the use of that matrix that we have. I don't have it in front of me, but it was 2 days, Ms. Whiteford, is that correct?
That's correct.
And I want to say off the top of my head that that would indicate giving a letter of concern, a non-disciplinary letter of concern, if I remember correctly.
Yes, letter of concern is non-disciplinary.
I believe that's what the matrix says. Unfortunately, I don't have it with me, but I would be very comfortable with doing that, with making a motion for approving the license and issuing the letter of concern.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Mark Harris. If I could just ask a preliminary question. In cases like this, because you're considering issuing a letter of concern, which is only available once a complaint is open, is it part of the motion to open up a complaint and resolve it with the issuance of a letter of concern?
Thank you, Mr. Harris. So what you're saying is we need to just open up a complaint before we act any further to do this action?
If you're considering issuing a letter of concern, you certainly have the ability to take no action. But if you are going to recognize, you know, that she did in fact, you know, practice without a license on two occasions, and wish to issue her a letter of concern. Again, I'm not sure if you've done this in the past, but it would be my recommendation to first open up a complaint and then dismiss it with a letter of concern.
Dr. McAllister, would you like to amend your initial motion?
I was just make a comment, but I'm happy to make the motion to open the complaint and issue a letter of concern for practicing with an expired license for the 2 days.
Okay. Do I have a second on that motion?
I second that motion.
That was Ms. Cantella?
Yes, I agree with McAllister.
Okay. All in favor? Roll call, please.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs is absent. Victoria Cantella?
Aye.
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
And Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes 4-0. So, Mr. Harris, help me a little bit here. So, after this, a possibility then is to dismiss the complaint with a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's what the motion just did.
Okay. So we're finished on this. Yes.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair.
Yes.
So the complaint was dismissed? It was open and then dismissed?
With a letter of concern.
Yeah, historically, that's not the process we followed. I think that's why we're all a little bit confused. Because my mind just went completely blank. This is a disclosure for a renewal, a reinstatement technically, but essentially it's a renewal. And we've historically not had to open the complaint. We've just issued the letter of concern because it's a non-disciplinary action. So we haven't opened the complaint. Ms. Whiteford, that's correct, right?
It's been very confusing with this agency. When a letter of concern is issued, it typically goes with a consent agreement. But what's throwing me off is the dismissal of the complaint.
I agree.
Isn't this fun being sued attorney? I'm sorry, and I certainly don't mean to interject in any way get you to do something that you don't normally do, let me just take a moment and kind of explain, you know, kind of my thought process is that we do have a renewal issue. And as Madam Chair pointed out, technically that's a violation of your statute. So your options are, as I see them under your statute, and in particular 3442, is that you can take no action, but if you do want to take action, such as a non-disciplinary letter of concern, that's only available to you after a complaint has been opened. And so it's not uncommon in these situations for other boards to simply open up a complaint and dismiss it, or, you know, resolve it with the issuance of a letter of concern. Technically, there's a formality when it comes to opening up a complaint, and the formality is that the respondent is given an opportunity to respond, and then an investigation ensues. But in this case, it's kind of a hybrid, because Ms. Whiteford has already asked the applicant, Ms. Costello, to provide a response as to, you know, why, which she did in her email on Friday, January 29th. And so since we already have the response and it's disciplinary, that's why I was proposing that the motion should reflect opening up a complaint and then dismissing it with the issuance of a letter of concern. If that is inconsistent with what's done in the past, I am more than comfortable with the board just following its past procedures, and then this is something that I can discuss with staff and your new AG going forward, and maybe there'll be just a little bit of a modification on how you've dealt with these in the past. So I'll defer to you, and if you're uncomfortable with the motion that was just made, I would ask that you consider perhaps just rescinding it and returning, you know, and just doing what you would typically do. I believe that Dr. McAllister referred to a matrix consistent with that matrix.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions.
Okay. So we've passed the motion on a complaint.
Madam Chair, I believe the motion was to open a complaint and issue a letter of concern for practicing 2 days with an expired license. Is everyone still okay with that?
I am. I mean, I think.
Victoria, did you say yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So the motion is approved, and Ms. Whiteford, you'll take care of the paperwork on that?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments on that? If not, let's move on to 8CII. Natalie Garland, and I see Ms. Garland is with us today. Thank you for being here.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So, in our board materials, we did have that summary, and when we reviewed Ms. Garland's application at our September 11th meeting, the board had concerns because Ms. Garland had been charged with DUI twice within 14 months. At that time, the board offered an interim consent agreement that would require Ms. Garland to have an independent alcohol use evaluation performed by a licensed provider that was approved by the board. I had a couple of questions for the board staff before we went forward on this. And one is the date that Ms. Garland accepted and agreed to the interim consent agreement.
Oh, let's see.
I remember there was two. There was, it had to be revised.
Right.
So you might be seeing like two dates. So I don't have that right in front of me, the actual dates. But the one that was sent out needed to get revised just because of some wording in there that wasn't correct. And it had to, you guys had to kind of look into it and then have that person prepare that. So I feel like that did take a few days.
Yes. So, Madam Chair, the agreement was executed on October 14th, 2020.
Okay.
Let's see. And the order... states that that the licensee was to contact the board within 30 days to inform us of the date and time of the evaluation and the name of the provider so that I could have an opportunity to vet this provider, which I did. Within 60 days after that, the evaluation had to occur.
Okay.
So let's see.
That's kind of why I started with the dates, because my second question was, did Ms. Garland meet all of the required timelines in the interim, that the interim order included? And from what you're saying, she did. Correct?
I am looking for the email that had the name of the person that would be evaluating.
Oh,
you know what? I think that even happened before the consent agreement was finalized.
Oh. Yeah, I did it pretty quickly.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. I sent it on October 5th.
Okay, so then that would mean that she had 60 days from the date that the consent agreement was executed.
Mm-hmm.
So that would give until roughly December 14th. Let's see.
And it was completed on the 3rd of December.
Right. And the board received the summary on December 9th. So from the evaluation at Stonewall Institute?
Yes, Stonewall.
Okay. So I just wanted to ensure that you complied with all your requirements, Ms. Garland, before we went on to further discussion. Let me just pick one more thing. Sorry, I'm shuffling papers. I know that's noisy. Because the interim order, it's not a final decision by the board on this matter, but in the document, number 9, it outlined that the licensee shall comply with any and all recommendations made by the evaluator and approved by board staff, including any recommendation that the licensee undergo additional evaluations or submit alcohol screening tests. And I would refer to the results and the treatment recommendations from your evaluation, because there were a couple, correct?
From the summary that was read to me, there was one recommendation and then one, like, an optional thing. One was to complete my court-ordered required classes, and then the other one was if I felt the need, I believe, to attend some community classes, if I felt the need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I open this up to any comments and questions from other board members. None?
Hi, this is Chris Daly. Ms. Garland, just curious, how did you decide to proceed following receipt of those recommendations?
Okay, well, I continued with my classes that were required of me, and I have completed them. So I have completely fulfilled everything that was asked of me from the court. So that's all completed. And then as far as attending community classes, you know, it's been almost a year since the DUI, and I haven't engaged in drinking behaviors or wanted to. So I haven't seen the need for that support because there hasn't been any issues. So I haven't attended any of those type of meetings. But
okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would be very much open to considering a consent agreement for some period of probation and maybe continued community courses. I think that would be appropriate in line, especially with the recommendations from the evaluation.
Okay. Could you define what you're thinking about for what community courses?
With the example of Alcoholics Anonymous or similar meetings.
So like support group kinds of things. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else have any input on this?
Madam Chair, I would like to remind all of the board members, if they have any questions about legal issues or want to get legal advice, you can ask to go into executive session for legal advice.
Okay.
If you would like.
I think I would like to make a motion to go into executive things like me for legal advice. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
All in favor? Roll call.
Barbara Paulson. Charlene Marbs is absent. Victoria Cantella.
Aye.
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
And Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. We are leaving the open meeting at 1:59 and moving into executive.
Okay, Ms. Garland, I'm going to place you in our waiting room.
Okay.
While we have this confidential discussion with the attorney, and then as soon as we are back in open session, I'll admit you back into the room.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let me make sure I have everybody out. Okay. Yes. Okay, the recording is stopped.
Yeah.